Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, and I am coming to you live with lots of love and just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful but rainy Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me from all over the world, from the Caribbean, London, Australia, Mexico, and the U.S., and I want to thank you for making the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show one of the most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio. And the word that I want to declare over your life today is that the best is yet to come. Well, how are you doing today? As I said earlier, it is a cloudy, windy, a little cold, rainy day here in Atlanta. And, of course, today is the first day of daylight savings time in the U.S., and we're really all excited about that. I hope that you've had a great week. I've had an awesome, miraculous week. I'm just returning from New Orleans from attending a life-changing conference that just reminded me of how powerful God is in my life and that I am indeed a powerful, strategic creator in this world, and so are you. It was relaxing. I had lots of fun, and guess what? I needed it. And I want you to stay tuned because today I have a dynamic guest, Mr. Michael Lindenberger. So prepare yourself for the show. I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. How many of you want to learn how to master your life? Let me see your hands in Europe, okay? I see those hands. What about how to activate your goals or how to dream again after a setback? Well, I want you to stay tuned because Michael will be sharing with you life-changing information that is going to change your life, so stay tuned. But before Michael comes, I have a new segment that I want to introduce or implement into the show today, and I'm going to call it Ask Constance. You know, all of us get intuitive thoughts. Today I was just standing in front of my sink in my kitchen, and I was thinking about how many emails I'm getting from people all over the world who are asking me so many different questions. And so I decided that I'm going to begin to answer your questions in the form of coaching. So each Sunday I'm going to select one of your emails and coach you so that you can strategically begin to move from where you are to where you want to be. It would be an opportunity for me to let you know how much I love you and desire for you to really experience abundance in all areas of your life. So I want all of you to listen carefully as I'm going to be sharing principles that you can apply to your own life from this situation that I would be reading. And I really don't have the time to conduct in-depth coaching, so I'm going to share just general principles. So today I chose a letter that represents a lot of the emails that I receive from my listeners. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but I have selected excerpts from it. So the email reads as follows. Hello, Constance. I have been listening to your show for about 3 months, and I am learning so much about the law of attraction. I accidentally, and how many of you know that nothing is accidentally, discovered your show on Blog Talk, and I have told all of my friends about it. I hear you talking about coaching, and I really wish that I could take advantage of it, but right now I am broke and just cannot afford it. What can I do to begin to attract money in my life? Well, the first thing that I would say to this person is that you should take a look at your limiting beliefs around money, and a belief is what you truly believe. So I would suggest that you take the time and sit down and write on a piece of paper what you truly believe about money. Do you believe that you have to work hard for money? Do you believe that times are tough and everybody is having a hard time? Do you believe that money is evil? Write down what your beliefs are, because right now your life is an outpicturing of what you believe. Then secondly, write out what you want to believe or what you want to begin to walk in concerning money or what you want your new belief to be. It should be something believable and attainable. It might be money comes to me from unexpected people and places. I would earn an additional $500 per month. God is my unlimited, inexhaustible supply of money. You come up with your own truth, but by meditating on and speaking these truths, you will begin to change your consciousness. So let's see. You're going to discover what your limiting beliefs are, and then you're going to exchange them with new beliefs. Secondly, watch the words of your mouth. Never call yourself broke, because you truly create and frame your own life with your words. So each time you call yourself broke, you're creating more of that. So begin to speak affirmations that that are believable for you. And when you do that, you will begin reconstructing the neurological pathways in your brain, and it will transform your spirit. So changing the words of your mouth is just essential. And thirdly, strategically, what can you begin to do to take small steps toward your desire? Number one, what do you really desire? You really need to be clear about that, because remember, I always say clarity is the key to your success. Here are some possible steps that this person possibly can take. After you become clear about what you want, set aside time each day to begin to brainstorm ways that you can begin to bring more money into your life. Join a meetup group in your area around attracting wealth with other like-minded people. If you don't have any money, go to Barnes & Noble and read the books on how to change your mindset. Just begin to do something different to change your life. And as you do begin to do these things differently, you are actually repositioning yourself and strategically moving towards and changing your consciousness of wealth. And once your consciousness of wealth is changed, your outside would change. So begin taking those small baby steps. And one day I believe that you'll be calling me for coaching. So to all of my listeners, remember, if you want something different this year, you have to do something different, and that small steps lead to large dreams. So I hope that helped you. So I want you to send me your coaching questions, and I will answer them for you live on the show. So send your questions to Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com and visit my website there and take advantage of all of the wonderful gifts that I have for you. Well, are you ready? Sit back. I want you to get your pad and pencil out, and I want you to listen to this great man that we have today. My special guest today is Mr. Michael Linenberger. He's called the Efficiency Guru by business leaders and the media for his revolutionary common sense approach to workplace productivity. He is the author of 4 top-selling productivity books, including Seize the Workday and Total Workday Control Using Microsoft Outlook, the number one best-selling book on Microsoft Outlook for 4 years running. This week, he launched the new release of his new book, Master Your Workday Now, and today he's going to be sharing with us how to approach every workday with an optimistic attitude and outlook. How many of you need that? And there is so much more that I could say about this great man, but I just want to bring him on so that you can hear all of the great information that he has for us. So I just want to welcome today to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, Michael. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Hi, Constance. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. Well, how are you doing? And share with our listeners a little bit about who you are. You're calling from California. Is that correct?
That's right. I live here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was born and raised here, but I moved away for a bit and came back. And I want to share with you all kinds of things about how to get your workday under control and then how to create your dreams at work.
Okay, and I think you told me earlier that this week has been the launching of your new book. What has that experience been like?
Oh boy, it was quite an experience. So, you know, when you launch a book, there's a lot of publicity that you want to get arranged, and there's a lot of notifications to make, and there's last-minute things going on all the time. It was probably my busiest week in maybe a year or so.
Okay.
So it was crazy busy, but you know, I kept it under control, and I, using my own techniques, thank goodness. And it went real well. It was really exciting. And the nice thing about launching a book is that, you know, you're reaching out to people through the media, and people start reaching back out to you because they see you, they see what's going on, and they like to stay in touch and congratulate you. And that was really a lot of fun. I really appreciated hearing from everybody.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. Let's get started. Master your workday now. Proven strategies to control chaos, create outcomes, and connect your work to who you really are. Now, in your book, you talk about mastering your workday now can be described as the power of now, which everybody is trying to live in the now, meets the 7 habits of highly effective people. What do you mean by that, Michael?
Well, there's these two books, you know, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, which is so well known, and it's a very spiritual book, and it's about living in your now and the benefits of living in your now. So that's a very spiritual book. And then The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a very practical book about how to be more effective at work. And I really think the two of them are highly related. A lot of people think, how can they possibly be related? But I think they are very highly related, because I feel that the presence that you bring to your work, the now, the presence in your now that you bring to work, has a huge effect on your ability to succeed at work, to be happy, to be productive. And I think there's a lot of things that people can do to improve their now at work and make it a place that's some place that they enjoy and thrive in.
Right. I don't know what the stats are now, but I know at one time I think about 70% of all people did not love what they were doing and hated to go to work every day.
Yeah, I heard. I think I've heard it was up to 80. That's right. So that means that they're not happy in their now, doesn't it? And, you know, your work represents 8 to 10, for some people, unfortunately, 12 hours a day, a large percentage of your day. So if you're unhappy in your work, how are you going to be unhappy? How are you going to be happy in life? And I'm a big believer in the law of attraction. And, you know, you do so, you do create what you think. And if your thoughts are ones of being dissatisfied with 8 to 10 hours of activity during the day, how is that going to manifest itself? So I want to talk about ways to change that.
Okay, well, you have invented a new term, or at least I've never heard it before, workday mastery. What does that mean?
Yeah, so workday mastery, I love that term, because it's a very positive, very sort of, you can almost hear what it is, you can almost feel what it means. It's all about feeling like you're a master of your workday. And let me just read you my definition, because it's right out of the book. Workday mastery is that feeling and knowledge that work is flowing smoothly, that workday chaos is a thing of the past, that your goals are clear and obtainable, and that your career is developing just the way you want. So that's, I think, a really nice ideal to have about work. And, you know, there's many different levels in which I feel you can get that.
Well, you know, I hear so many people say that their work is so difficult and that their lives are out of control. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with a friend of mine today prior to the show, and she was very disturbed about her work situation because she was having to work 60 hours per week. So how can we begin to get control of our out-of-control work day and life? Because your work definitely impacts your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for the people that haven't been affected by layoffs, the people that are left behind, I think they're working a lot harder these days because the companies are cutting back their jobs and they're expecting their existing workers to work harder to take up the slack. And it's too bad. But there are ways to get in control. You know, so many people, they complain about having so much to do and so many tasks being assigned to them and then, you know, meetings to go to. And on top of that, they're getting 100 to 300 emails a day that some people say they're sitting in their email systems half the day, three-quarters of the day, 80% of the day. You know, how are they ever going to get everything else done? So there is definitely this sense that things are spinning out of control for many people in the workplace. And I find that when you've got too many things to do like that, what usually happens is you become late. Obviously, you become late on a lot of the things that you're supposed to get done. They get late because there's just too many things to do, too much to do. And as a number of things start to pile up, the number of late things start to pile up at work, you then get this sense of urgency. Everything seems to be urgent because it's late and it's behind schedule, and you got to work fast to try to catch up. And that sense of urgency, that ongoing sense of urgency at work, is very destructive. It's very counterproductive. On the one hand, it may, if you start working really hard and really fast, you may feel like, oh, that's how I'm going to get everything done. I just have to work really fast, put my nose down, and work hard. But on the other hand, what that does is it leads to some really bad habits. And in fact, there's been research shown that when you get really, I call it workday froth, you just have so many things going on so fast that you can barely keep sense of them all, that you start to make bad decisions. It's because your thinking process actually degrades. There's been research that shows that many people have ADD, attention deficit disorder, like symptoms when they have way too much work thrown on top of them. So the first thing I counsel people who are in a situation like that is to start managing urgency directly. Now, ideally, what we all would do, particularly with the law of attraction in mind, is that we'd focus mostly on our goals, mostly on what we want to achieve, and let that attract to us the right actions, and maybe we'll sort out the mess, all the other things. But I found that if your emotions, if your feeling of anxiety is rather high, that shuts off a lot of your attraction ability, doesn't it? Because what are you doing? You're attracting more anxiety, aren't you? You're attracting more fear into your life. So I think the very first thing you have to do, even before you spend a lot of time focusing on your goals, and this doesn't take long, this is just a short first step, is to get things under control, get a system in place that gets everything under control so that you can, in fact, then start to focus on your goals from a position of power and comfort. So I'll talk about that with you and how to get urgency under control.
And so we can control the chaos in the workplace. So you talk about a workday mastery to-do list. What is the difference in that mastery to-do list from just creating a prioritized to-do list every day? Are they the same, or how different are they?
Yeah, so good question. In my book, I talk about this workday mastery to-do list. And I find that many people fail miserably at using a to-do list. You'd think it would be a simple thing. You just write down the things you need to do, and you prioritize them, and you start at the high priority first. Well, one of the ways that make people fail at this with to-do lists is that one of the common mistakes is that people end up marking too many things a high priority. There are so many things coming in so fast, and there's so many things that they would really like to get done because it's an important thing in their life, that they end up with 10, 20, 30, 40 things marked high priority. And you can't discern in a list that's that big what you need to do next, and that just makes things feel more urgent because you've got too many things to do even on your list. So the list isn't helping you gain control; it's making it worse.
Right.
So I in those situations where there's so many things coming in, I have this thing called the Workday Mastery To-Do List, and the key to this to-do list is that you identify what I call urgency zones. And if you have urgency zones identified clearly, it has a really good, powerful way to, you segment your work into each of these zones, and it really helps you get your work under control.
Okay. You talk about urgency zones. What are they, and how would they help us to get our workday under control?
Well, good.
I mean, what if we have 20 things that appear to be urgent
at our
workplace on a daily basis? How do we manage that?
Right. Well, I want to talk about I have three urgency zones, but I first want to present a little bit of a situation here that's so common for people. If I go to somebody who's in a very busy environment and I ask them, tell me what things do you absolutely have to do today or you wouldn't leave work? What are your most critical things that would bite you, badly if you didn't have them done at the end of the day? And you'd think that people would know that, but most people, when I ask them that, they go, I know one of them, but I think I have four more, and I'm not sure what they are. I'll have to research that. I have to look in my inbox. I think one of them is in my email, and one of them is maybe over here. That not knowing what the two or three or four most critical things that you have to get done in a day, not knowing what they are, that's a really bad thing, because what happens is you just carry this background thought, oh, I've got four things, five things, six things really, really urgent to do today. I'm not sure what they are, but I'll go find them later. And so you're carrying this sense of, unnecessarily carrying the sense of impending urgency around with you because you don't see what it is you need to do. It's, you know, sometimes it's the things that you can't see that scare you the most because
right.
because you don't know when they're going to bite you and when they're going to, you know, sneak up on you. And so I say the number one thing you can do to get ahead of urgency and get ahead of that anxious feeling that people have when they have so much to do at work is to just create what I call your critical now list. Your critical now list.
Critical now, okay.
And what that is that just a list of the three or four or five things that you would not leave work if they weren't done. These are so important that you might work till midnight even if they weren't done. And so identify what they are. And when I say important, I mean, you know, this is things like having to call somebody because you owe them a call and or, you know, some other task that if it weren't done today, your boss would really get mad at you. So identify what those are and list them right. In fact, I say this to-do list system is real simple to do. You just take out two pieces of paper, and on the top of the first piece of paper, write that word critical, that phrase critical now, and then list two or three or four things that would lead to, I call it a UFO moment, which is an unnecessary freak out. It would lead to a freak out. It would lead to a UFO. If at 5 or 6 o'clock you said, "Oh my gosh, I didn't get this thing done. I have to get this done," and this is why people work late at night oftentimes in the workplace is they're so busy all day long they don't have this critical now list handy, and so they're just going to meetings and they're just doing, you know, answering emails and doing tasks, and then at 5 o'clock finally when things start to slow down, 5:30 things start to slow down, then they start to scratch through all their different pieces of paper and email and say, "Now what is it that I had to do today? What was critical?" And they find, you know, three or four things that are going to keep them there another 2 or 3 hours. That's why the day gets so long. So get that list identified quickly in the day and then keep it in your hand all day long and you know, glance at it often so you know that what they are. Just seeing them will often help calm you down because oftentimes it's not as bad as you think.
I can see that. I can see that just having a list of your critical now items would really help. I'm thinking to really clarify what you need to do for that day.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it relieves that sense of, ooh, I've got so many things to do and I can't remember what they all are, but I know it's a lot, so I'm just going to work as fast as I can. And that kind of, you know, that kind of energy does not help you create your goals. So it gives you a good, clear vision of what you absolutely have to do and then what next. And so now there's two more urgency zones that I could go over with you if you like. They're,
okay,
complete
what are those?
Yeah, so let's complete the picture of this Workday Mastery to-do list. So below the critical now, I say about one-third of the way down that same page, write the phrase opportunity now. And these are those things that you would work once the critical now things were done or once some other good opportunity came to work on them. So these are things you could work once you had the opportunity to get them done. And I say these are things that you'd like, you know, very much like to do today or sort of like to do today or do tomorrow or the next day. And I say list things that you might want to do soon and are due within the next week or so. And so this is your opportunity now list, the things you would work on today, right now, if you had the opportunity to do so. So that's the second zone. And then the third urgency zone, I say to put on the second piece of paper, at the top of the second piece of paper, write the phrase, over the horizon.
Over the horizon, okay.
Right, over the horizon. And these are things, list there things that you can put off a week and a half or longer. Things you can put off a week and a half or longer. Now, that time delineation, a week and a half, is very carefully chosen. I've done a lot of research on this with groups of people. And my research has shown that most people, if they think about what work is on their plate and what they're anxious about and what they're worried about. They think about what's on the plate today, what's due tomorrow, what's due this week, and maybe what's due like Monday or Tuesday or the following week, and then they stop worrying about their work. They don't even think beyond then. They can't. It's like a horizon. They can't see beyond that horizon because it's too far out, and they're just not thinking about it, not worried about it. And that's an interesting thing, and it actually gives you a really useful way to get control of your long list of tasks that are overwhelming you just make an agreement with yourself to put a number of your tasks over the horizon and try to get your list down. I say no more than, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 critical now items, no more than 20 opportunity now items, so things you're going to try to work on this week, and then the rest just pass it over the horizon, and then take that over the horizon list, put it in your drawer, top drawer, and study it once a week, every Monday morning, take a look at it, and decide if anything on there has become more urgent or more important, and if it has, move it back out to your critical now if it's due today or your opportunity now. Now, this three-segment approach to dividing your work is so powerful. I can't tell you how many people have told me it has completely helped them get their work under control. You can do it on paper like I just described. You can do it in like a word processing document, a text document on your computer. That's kind of nice because you can copy and paste and move things around real easily. Or you can do it in Excel. There's a number of different ways. The best way I found to do it is if you're an Outlook user, Microsoft Outlook. Now, I know a lot of you, I usually find about half my audience in the work world uses Microsoft Outlook, that there are some really interesting ways to set it up with the task system Outlook. And I have a whole lot of information how to do that as well once you get my book and start studying it. But anyway, whatever way you do it, it really, really does help you get your workday back under control.
Well, you know, I can really see that, and I can really see that really helping my listeners. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Michael Lindenberg, and he's sharing with us Master Your Workday Now, Proven Strategies to Control Chaos. Anybody have any chaos, create outcomes, and connect your work to who you really are. Michael, let's talk about email. I think I check my email too much. I realized that when I was traveling to New Orleans this week because I didn't have my laptop with me, but I used my iPhone, and I realized that I'm always checking my email. So is there any hope for an empty email inbox, and how can people do that? How often should we check our email, or is there any such rule or law that would help us to be more effective and efficient?
Well, let me answer the second question first, and then I'll get to the first one.
Okay.
About how to empty your inbox, because there is hope, by the way. I feel that unless you're in a customer service role or maybe a sales role, where it's your job to constantly communicate with people, you know, unless that's your job description, then I don't really want you checking your email more often than once an hour, because how are you going to get your work done? Research has shown that if you get interrupted from a detailed task and you really truly get interrupted, that it can take you up to 3 to 5 minutes to get reoriented back into that task to become productive again on that task, whatever it is you're doing. And so if you allow, you know, every time the email beeps to stop whatever task you're working on and go read your email and then come back to your task, you're cutting down your efficiency quite a bit. Your productivity is going way down. So I'd say, you know, once an hour, it depends on your job role, but if you can get it down to that, by all means, get it down to once an hour. And try to encourage the people you work with not to rely on email as an urgent communication mechanism. You know, don't allow them to send you things that they want 5-minute responses from, because that turns email into you get trapped in your inbox if that happens.
Right.
So that's my advice. And turn off those, you know, Outlook and some other email messages have these little messages that pop up on your screen and actually describe the first couple lines of the email. Those are horrible. Those thoroughly distract you from any work that you're getting done and pull you right back in the email inbox. So try to avoid those. Turn those off. And then getting back to your question about is there hope for an empty inbox, there absolutely is. In my classes, when I teach people how to get their tasks and email under control, virtually everybody learns how to empty their inbox and keep it empty. I empty it twice a day. And the reason why it can become easy is the following. The problem that most people have with email is that they use their inbox as a task management system. And the trouble with that, you know, every time you get an action email, you know, an email that is asking you something to do, then it gives you a choice. You can do it now or you can do it later. And both of those feel wrong because you're afraid it's going to scroll down off the bottom of your screen. But in most cases, you do end up doing it later. And when you've got these unreconciled actions in your inbox, is what those are, it locks your inbox. You can't file anything away. You can't, you know, and then you end up spending all this time rehashing mail, going back and reading it, trying to find these messages that had actions for you when you had a little time to catch up with them. And it's just such a waste of time. So what I teach people to do is this. It's really simple. As soon as you get an email that's got an action in it, unless it's just a 30-second reply, if it's that, do it immediately. Otherwise, convert it to a task. So that means make an entry in your to-do list. Now, in Outlook and other systems, it's really easy. All you got to do is drag the email to the task button, and it turns into a task, and it has all the text and all the attachments in there. So you never even have to go find the email, the original email again. It's all right in your task. And then you can prioritize it. You can put it into one of those three urgency zones I just talked about: critical now, must be done today, or, you know, I would like to do it if I had the opportunity, or I can get to it in over a week and a half. So when you do that, when you convert emails to tasks like that, what you're doing is you're taking the tension off the inbox and you're putting it all in. You're putting your management in a place you can manage it, a really powerful to-do list, this Workday Mastery to-do list. And after that, I find that people, once they got it in their task system, they can empty their inbox because everything in there is just informational. And in fact, I tell people, don't try to file mail into 10 or 20 or 30 different folders or 40 different folders. It takes too long. It takes too long, and you have to decide which folder to put each one in. Once you extract tasks, just drag it all into one single other folder, one folder, empty your inbox, and then use those really powerful search engines that are now built into all mail systems these days to search for your mail that way. And just forget about the folders, and, you know, most of us can anyway.
So that's just great information. I'm going to really implement a lot of that into my daily life. I know reading your book was just very powerful. I'm going to really recommend to my listeners that all of you go out and purchase his book. I think I've read it twice, and it's a very informative, detailed, and powerful book. Micah, what about people who are not working? How relevant is mastering their work day?
Well, you know,
they're not working, so, I mean, can they use your book? How would it work for them?
Absolutely. You know, I say that Workday Mastery is a three-layer process. The first layer is the one I just talked about, which is getting control of your workday, and that's particularly true for people who are real busy. If you're so busy that you're spun out of control, then you're never going to focus on your goals because you're just too busy. But the other two layers, the next one I call the create layer, which is creating your workday now, and the last one is connecting your workday now. Those are just as applicable to people in work or out of work, because particularly if you're out of work, you probably are in a situation where you want to create a job, you want to create income, you want to create a life that is beneficial to you. Excuse me. And so I say the book is very applicable to you, because the second two-thirds of the book is all about doing that. How do you create goals? And that's what it's about. How do you create goals? And then how do you create a career that matches who you really are? And by the way, if you are out of work, you know, I've been out of work a number of times in my long career. And, you know, the first couple of times it was really scary. I was just terrified. Oh, my gosh, right. I don't have. And then I started using the law of attraction a lot more. I started visualizing things a lot more. And finding the power of that. And the next time I was out of work, I stopped and I just said, you know, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. I now get to decide with a completely free and open blank slate what I want to do next and how I'm going to do it. I'm not distracted by an 8 to 10 hour working day every day. I can use all my time to visualize and plan what I want to do. And it worked. It worked. I mean, that's when it was perhaps a third time I'd been laid off that I decided to write my first book. It was out of that, in that gap, so to speak. It was in that in-between spot where I said, this time I'm going to make use of this time that I have. This time I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to take a pot. Now, the hardest part, of course, is getting that positive attitude. And
it is.
and the key is getting beyond fear. Fear is just such a huge robber of your creative process. You know, if you're constantly afraid, it's hard to be creative because a different part of your brain is involved. And do anything you can to get beyond fear, and I've got some techniques and tips for that as well. But once you do, once you have that spot of, you know, okay, so I have some time here, I can do this, I know, you know, I'm a creative individual, I've created my life up to this point, I'm going to create the rest of it. And then dream, and then start doing some goal setting, and we can talk about that too.
Okay, let's talk about goals. You state that most people fail at goals. Is there a right way to set achievable goals, and how would a person go about doing that?
Yeah, so setting goals. I really find that the way most people approach goals is not good, And the reason is a couple reasons. One of them is that, particularly in the business world, but there's been this habit, and it's spread out to, you know, entrepreneurs and just regular people as well, that everybody tells you you need to identify the number that you're going after. You know, identify that dollar amount that you want, and identify that. And if you are in work, you know, it might be identify the number of sales you're going to make, or identify the size of your salary. And the number thing is good. It's good. You do need to do it. But I think much more important than identifying the number and chasing the number is to identify the vision behind the goal, the vision.
Oh. And what is the how would a person begin to do that, to identify the vision behind the goal?
I say ask yourself, why do you want the goal? Why do I want this goal? Why? What is it about this thing that I like? And it's always, you know, you probably heard this. This is the Law of Attraction Radio Network, so I'm sure you've heard this many times, that it's always good to focus on the positive. But you don't have to force the focus on the positive. I mean, just it's naturally there if you just think about, you know, what will it feel like? Why will I feel good once I get this goal? Now, that feeling may just be a sense of relief. You know, if you're out of work, the feeling might be, oh, good, finally I've got a job. But that's okay. A sense of relief is a positive thing. It's that experience of having finally something that you want. So focus on the thing that you want in positive ways. Imagine yourself getting that phone call, or, you know, where you can get either the job or get whatever it is that you're looking for. Imagine getting it, and imagine how you're going to feel when you get it. And then write that description down as a vision statement for your goal.
Okay, give me an example of that. So write down the description of the feeling that a person would have once they obtained that goal. For an example of that would be?
Well, let's say it's somebody who, you know, this is, you brought up somebody being out of work. So let's say it's, you know, I just got the phone call, and the phone call gave me this fantastic job that meets all my needs, and then described the job, how it looks, and in some brief words. And I just feel, you know, amazingly good, because I now know that I'm on the road to this incredible career that I've always wanted. You know, it's just something like that, some positive phrases about the goal, and then describe the goal in that phrase as well, so that you add words, maybe something like, you know, I have that accounting job that I've always wanted, and it's in a really good company with a really good work environment, and the pay level is, you could even put down the pay number right then and there in your statement, and I'm just so excited to have this and to be working in this career that I love, and that it exercises all my skills. You know, some statement like that. And, you know, make the focus on your goal on that positive statement, that vision. I call it a vision statement. I call it a vision goal. And put all your focus on that. And then I ask people to activate that goal at least once a day. And that, to me, is the better way to go after a goal, rather than just focusing on a number or a salary amount or a dollar amount and hoping for it.
So a person can, when you say activate, you mean take action steps toward that goal?
Well, I actually have a different thing about the word activate. So I say there are four steps to reaching a goal. Step one is identifying and clearly writing that vision statement that you and I just talked about just now, because that's the step that so many people forget to do. They assume that they know what that is. They assume, well, I know how it's going to feel. I know how great it's going to be. I don't have to write that down. You do. You want to write it down. Describe that really powerful, positive feeling and exactly how the goal is going to look once it's in place. And then that's step number one, writing it down. Step number two is, if it's appropriate, identify a number. So maybe it's a salary number or amount of money or a, you know, some of the thing that fits with the goal, but just write it down once at the very end of that vision statement. Don't make it dominate the goal. Make it just kind of a little bit of clarity at the very end of your goal statement. So that's step two. And those two things together, by the way, I call a now goal. It's a very powerful combination statement, the vision and then a target, what I call a target goal at the end, which is the number. And then step three is what I call activating your goal, and I'll get to that. And step four is taking action. So two different things. Activating your goal is step three. Mm-hmm. Taking action is step four. Step three, activating your goal, is what I think the best way to describe it is, it's visualizing your goal every day. And I call it activating because what it does is it gives the juice, it gives the energy, it gives the power to your goal, and it makes the action steps much easier and much clearer and perhaps even spontaneous, perhaps synchronistically they occur. But if you don't activate your goal, then that's a lot harder to happen. So activating your goal is the visualization step. I like to call that phrase, that stage, goal spinning.
Goal spinning. I remember reading that in your book.
Yeah, goal spinning. And there's a whole bunch of neat things about that phrase, all the way from the idea of kind of like spinning up a cloth or something like that, to the one that I have more in mind is the idea, the best way to describe this is to describe a negative situation and then apply it to a positive case. So think of one someday when you're late to a meeting or you forget to do something, and after that happens, you're kind of beat up on yourself. You keep thinking to yourself, darn, if I only hadn't done it, if I'd only been on time, gosh, if I'd only remembered to do that. That constant over and over thinking that you might have, that where the thoughts tend to, like, without you even having to do anything about it, they spin by themselves. The same thought spins over and over by itself. That's kind of like a spinning thought. Well, I say, do that same thing, but purposely with a goal, the goal that you want to get. And what happens is if you do that just for a few minutes, once or twice a day, you'll find what I find anyway, and I think you will find as well, is that your subconscious will spin up those thoughts in the background of your mind. You won't even be aware that they're there. But you'll have this these thoughts spinning about, it feels good to get that job. Boy, having that job feels good. Oh, that's really exciting that I got this job. Do that a couple times in the morning with that goal statement, and then throughout the day that kind of spins in the subconscious without you realizing it, and it attracts to you very powerful actions and synchronicity and inspirations to take action that wouldn't happen otherwise. So that's that third really key step, is activate your goals every day. I do it just before I go to bed. I read over my goal statements. And by the way, I find that I usually have 4 or 5 or 8 goals for each season. I like to list my goals per season. These are the sort of the smaller ones. And I looked at the one that I had for fall last December at the end of the year, and I was just pleasantly surprised to see that all but one of them, all I think 7 out of 8 goals, had gotten very clearly. And it was very nice to have that reinforcement that, reading those and activating them every evening had such a powerful effect.
Well, I was going to ask you, Michael, if in fact you visualize yourself or your books becoming bestsellers prior to your releasing them.
I do. I have this image of them being very successful, and I have this image of them influencing very positively thousands and thousands of people, and that there's a very positive response to the book. I mean, that's ultimately my goal, is I want to help people. I want to help uplift them. I want them to learn ways to make their life more easy and more successful, and so it's deep in my heart that I feel this. And so it's very easy to do that every day because it's such a big incentive for me. It's such a big purpose for me.
Well, we only have about 10 more minutes. Can you believe that? And I just have so many more questions I want to ask you. So, Michael, how can a person begin to dream again and be creative and set goals after they've just had such a devastating setback?
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because you're all emotionally affected by the setback. I think the biggest thing you can do is to avoid the fear. This is one place where I think you have to, so much of the law of attraction teaches that what you do is you don't even look at the bad stuff. You just look at what you want. And I think you need to do that, and that is ultimately what you need to do. But be aware if you find yourself in fear a lot. I mean, that's a powerful negative attractor. So be aware of it so that you can then do exercises to try to get beyond it. And so the exercises might be simply what most law of attraction things teach, which is to focus very much on the thing that you want and describe it and study it and read about it. But there is sometimes you can get stuck, and I know this, Constance, because you talked about helping people overcome limiting beliefs, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so that you can get stuck by a limiting belief. You can start to have this untrue belief that you're never going to get past your bad situation. So I have another technique that I call what if, why not? What if, why not? It's in my book. And what I do there is I say, look, if you're stuck on something that you just can't wrap your head around it, you say, I can't believe this is going to turn better, it's not going to happen. I say, just do a little brainstorming. Just sit down on a piece of paper, perhaps, and write down, let's say it's about getting a job or a certain level of income or something like that. Write down, so the question is, what if I got the job? What if I got a fantastic job at just the salary I need? That's the what if statement. What if I got this fantastic job at just the salary I need? And then immediately you're going to go, well, you know, I don't know. I'm really worried. I don't think I'm going to get it. And then just write the answer to the question, why not? Mm. Why not? Why couldn't it happen? And then start brainstorming ways in which it could happen. So, and they don't have to be completely believable ways. I mean, it could be something like, you know, what if my neighbor came over to my house and knocked on my door and said, hey, Brad, there's a job opening in my office. You know, you should come apply for it, and it's right up your alley. Or what if a new factory opened in my, or what if, and just go down all the different ways that it would be possible for you to get a job. And there are so many darn ways that it could be possible. Just do it to the point where you stop thinking to yourself, oh, this is impossible. You kind of trick your mind into realizing, oh, there are so many possible ways that, you know, God or nature or the economy or some real practical things could lead to me finding this job. You know what? It is possible. And you just have to convince your subconscious that it is possible and get past that belief or that fear that it's not possible. And then you're on the road to start doing your regular visualization, which is just writing out these goal statements of describing what it is you want and spinning up those thoughts.
That's great information. You know, you talk about in your book that people should connect with a larger vision or purpose in their work. What does that mean, and how can they do that for a person who is a secretary? How in the world can I connect with the larger vision or purpose in my work?
Well, you know, it's a real important thing. I want everybody to have this larger vision because that's what leads to forward movement in your job. If all you're thinking about is how am I going to get through the next day, then you don't get, all you do is get through the next day. That's all that happens. But if you think to yourself, you know, this job that I'm working at now is the first step of an amazing career, and then actually not only just think it generally like that, but think of how that job is giving you skills to your next job that you want.
Right.
And that will give you an idea of, first of all, why it's, you know, your job is not so bad. It's actually very useful. It's giving you skills. And secondly, I want you to really think about what is that next thing? What is that next layer? What is the thing, what gets you excited in life that you can apply to your work? I really want you to connect who you are to your career. I don't want them to be two different things. You know, some people, they go to work just to make money, and then they come home, and when they come home, that's when their life starts. And I think that's a shame. I would really like to see you where your work life is, represents the best of who you are as well. So think about that. Do some brainstorming and figure out what it is that you love about life and how that can be brought into some sort of career, and then envision that career, spin it up just like any other goal, and you'd be amazed how much you can get out of that.
Well, you know, in your book, you talk about a concept of life's work and how people can find that. So how can a person begin to really find their life's work?
Yeah,
what does
I have
that
this
look like?
I have this concept called life's work, and really what that is that's the job that represents that passion and vision that you have. And so I say the number one step one is to identify that passion and vision that you have that can be applied in work somehow. You know, it could be to be a school teacher. Maybe you love teaching kids, or maybe and you just want to see you change the lives of thousands of children. Or, you know, maybe it's something all the way on the other side. Maybe you love to hike and backpack, and you'd love to be a trip leader and have a business that leads people on trips through the mountains. You know, a whole variety of passions could be there. Just think of the passion, and then with that passion in mind, describe your ideal job. So just write out a long paragraph or two or three describing that ideal work, and I call that your life's work because it matches the life passion that you have. and then, you know, go after that. Make it a goal that you study every day and go after it. And this life's work statement will probably change every couple of years as you obtain your goals, and then you want more, you might have a bigger vision after that. So just keep doing that every couple of years.
Well, what are your thoughts about writing a mission statement? Do you think that that's important, and if so, why?
You know, a mission statement, I think, has been, this is one place where I disagree with a lot of the other systems out there and teachings out there. A lot of people say, you know, if you've read these books, they say what you do is you identify what your mission in life is, your overarching purpose that you want to achieve in your entire life, and then write that down and then identify goals to help you achieve that and then, you know, make some actions towards those goals. I have a somewhat more spiritual view of this. I feel that our mission is something that we're born with, that we all do have this life purpose, not just a current job purpose or current job vision, but a life purpose that we're born to achieve here. And it could be related to work, it could be related to family, it could be related to spirituality, it could be, you know, a large number of different things. We were born, and it could, you know, scientists might say, well, it's in our DNA, and more religious people may say it's the mission that, you know, God gave us when we were born. But we're born with a certain a set of skills and capabilities and a propensity to achieve these certain things. And I say that it takes people a long time. I think, you know, I didn't really, and I don't even know if I got, I think I got mine now. I've after many years and many different careers, I think I know what mine is. And I say, don't worry about it. If you can't identify a life purpose, an entire, you know, something that represents, you know, particularly people in high school or college, how are they, they haven't lived yet, how are they going to do that? I think your life shows you over time what your life's mission is. And so if you got it, write it down, if you know exactly what it is. But if you don't worry about it, you know, you'll get it over time. Just keep chasing those individual visions that you have every couple of years, and those will change, and that's the best I think that you can do, and it'll serve you well.
Right. I agree with you, Michael. I believe that we're born with it, and in life we're discovering and exploring, and in time we begin to walk in it fully. Most of us do.
I love that. I love how you said that. That is perfect.
So, Michael, tell people how can they contact you. What are your services? I know that you're a great speaker and that you go into companies and you speak to employees. How can we purchase your book, et cetera?
Well, yeah, I think the first thing for most people probably would be to get the book. It's a really good read, and it's very uplifting, and it's very, very good techniques on all those three levels I talked about. And right now, since it's the launch week, we've still got a few more days on our – we have a lot of incentives. There's all these free giveaways. If you go out to my website, and the website is masteryourworkday.com, masteryourworkday.com. Go out there, get the book, and then just put, then you, once you buy the book on Amazon or wherever, it's only $11 on Amazon right now. They have a big sale on it. Put the order number in the little field that you'll see at that site, and you get all these free downloads, and you'll get entered into a contest for a laptop and all these things. So go out there and do that right away, because that's going to end very soon. And then if you are in a company that you think might need training on how to get control of their workday, put a workday mastery to-do list in place, or perhaps your company uses Outlook and you want Outlook training on how to do this, at that same page, masteryourworkday.com, scroll down to the very bottom, and there's a link at the very bottom called training. Go out there, and that'll show you places where you can contact me. It'll describe the different trainings I give. And if you're an individual who wants to learn this, at that same link, there'll be information about webinars that you can sign up for to get training.
So, Michael, you sound very busy. What does the future hold for you?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm just doing more and more training and helping people to do what they want to do and get control of their workday. It's such a common problem. It is such a common problem. People feel out of control. And then once I help them get in control, I want to show them how to achieve their goals. So I'm just doing more and more of that. I may write another book one of these days. But that's really it. So let me just give that website again, masteryourworkday.com. But yeah, that's what I love doing, Constance. I just love helping people get ahead of stuff, and it's so gratifying to see the emails that I get back that they've changed people's lives because they finally get control of their work.
And it's a great read for all of my listeners. I've read this book twice, and it has just such great information. And I took out my highlighter, and I highlighted certain things that really apply to my own life personally. And I'm going to really recommend that you get the book. And, Michael, I can just tell that your passion and your purpose just comes through just so powerfully, and I can tell that you really have a desire to serve and to help to make people more effective and efficient in their lives, and it comes through.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm so proud of your show. That this is such an important show that you have. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. And so what would be the last thing that you would say to people about changing their lives or taking control of their lives?
Well, the thing I would say is to use the three steps that I have in my book, which is, first of all, get control of your out-of-control workday. If it's so busy and so frustrating that you're feeling fearful, get control of that whatever way you can so that you get centered again. And then pursue your goals, individual goals, learn how to achieve those, and then pursue your life's vision in a broader sense so that your work matches who you really are. That's my overall message.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Michael, you've been such a blessing. I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and I'm so excited about your book. You said on Amazon that it's number one this week?
It's the number one time management book on Amazon. Yeah, it's soared past all the major sellers, so yeah, it's already very, very popular.
That must be a great feeling.
It is a great feeling. I know it's the best book out there, and it's good to see the market agrees with me.
And I just applaud you for all of your efforts, and may God continue to bless you and your work as you serve people, as you help people to take people to the next level. And I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Constance. It's been a great pleasure.
Okay, blessings to you.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to encourage all of you to, as I said earlier, to really go and purchase Michael's book, Master Your Workday Now, Proven Strategies to Control Chaos, Create Outcomes, and Connect Your Work to Who You Really Are. He gives great principles, and they're very practical, and you can begin to implement them into your life on a daily basis. And you know, I'm all about taking small baby steps to begin to change your life and to take your life to the next level. Well, it has been a joy of mine to be with you tonight, and I just want to remind you that I think we still have a few cabins available for the Cruise to Transformation. The Cruise to Transformation, which is May 31st through June 4th, the Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation. And I am one of the featured speakers, and I will be talking about how to attract clients and wealth into your business. It is a four-night cruise to Baja California, Catalina Island, and you will meet people from all over the world, like-minded people. And so if you're still interested, I think they still have some cabins available. And remember, I'm going to designate one night just to spend with all of my listeners. And you can go to loaradionetwork.com. and click on the link that says cruise and just take advantage of this great opportunity. I would just love to meet you face to face. And additionally, I want you to make sure that you go back and you listen to some of the archive shows. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/think-believe, and you can go back, I think, as far as a year and really listen to all of the archives and just really let them empower, enlighten, and uplift you. Also, remember to go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and take advantage of those coaching opportunities. You know, coaching would really transform your life. It wasn't until I really started getting coaching services that my finances changed, that my love life changed, that my body changed. And so I'm just going to recommend you to do that. God would make a way for you to really obtain those coaching services. I'm going to believe and be in agreement with you on that. So remember that I am here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for my wonderful West Coast listeners, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I just appreciate and love you so much. I thank you once again for joining me on a weekly basis and for making the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show one of the most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio. Well, what I want you to do this week is to really take what you've heard today and to take small baby steps in implementing it in your life. And as you begin to change what you think, as you begin to change what you believe, truly your life would change. This is Constance Arnold saying God bless you and have a great week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.